Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The person I sent you this wants you to know.
We need to get the gang together for a little road trip. You heard me.
No cap. Facts. No pencil. Copy. No translate.
Hi, I'm Madison Malone Kircher.
And I'm Rachel Hampton. And you're listening to I See Why Am I.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture. We've heard from a number of you, special shout out to Beth, this one's especially for you, that you really love High Speed Download, the game where Madison and I test the capacity of our lungs and tell you as much as possible about something online in 60 seconds flat.
Today, Rachel and I are going to take the maximum amount of inhaler puffs recommended by the medical establishment. If you are my doctor and you are listening to this show, no, you're not. To talk about four different pieces of internet ephemera. Mark Zuckerberg finally explaining that sunscreen surfing photo, you know the one. A Twitter thread about Ryan Gosling that wasn't actually about Ryan Gosling at all.
A extremely chaotic TikTok rabbit hole. And Ed Balls?
Ed Balls.
But first, the Oscars.
Today we are not talking about Glenn Close doing Debut. I can tell you that much.
Thank God. Although what we are talking about is, I think, significantly worse.
It's definitely worse.
Today we're going to be talking about the Chadwick Boseman NFT that was auctioned off ahead of the Academy Awards, which is a sentence I never thought I would ever have to say on this podcast.
Yeah. If you had Chadwick Boseman NFT on your Oscars bingo card, congratulations.
Also, are you psychic? Can you give me next week's lottery numbers?
So I think first we should probably explain loosely what an NFT is, because if you're a longtime listener of the pod, you'll know that our past descriptions of NFTs have perhaps been artistic.
You know, I mean, are NFTs not art in and of themselves? I don't actually know. What I understand about NFTs, which stands for non-fungible tokens, which is a phrase I cannot say five times fast, is that they're a bit like Bitcoin, but not really.
Put very too simply, an NFT has value in cryptocurrency like a Bitcoin, except unlike a Bitcoin, of which there are many on the internet, there can only be one of an NFT. So this is like a baseball card if you had the only purple Babe Ruth card left in the world.
Yeah, I guess where I get tripped up is that people can auction off their tweets, but those tweets existed in the world beforehand and you can just take a screenshot of the tweet and therefore
bring it back.
Own the tweet. Yeah.
Bring it back. Bring it back. So talk to me about the Chadwick Boseman NFT. What did it look like?
Ugly is my first description of it, but it was based off of this 3D model rendering that you can actually buy for $50 online, which is a very common thing you can do as an artist, which is buy assets when you're doing kind of 3D art. But it's this 3D model of his head, and it is kind of bathed in gold, I guess, to look like an Oscar statue. And then these kind of Wakanda-esque blue and purple leaves kind of flower into the scene. And so it's this gold statue surrounded by blue and purple leaves. And it's a gift, so it moves like it's kind of a little scene. And so this is the NFT that is being auctioned off.
So obviously, because it is an NFT, there can only be one. So it wasn't like every Oscar winner was given this NFT in a swag bag. What was in the bag?
Yeah, so in the bag was this NFT along with other NFTs, and it was basically included in this bag was a way for anyone to bid on what is being described as an ultra rare NFT creation. So what you get in the bag is a chance to bid on this thing.
This really fucked up thing.
Yeah, this really bad thing. Also just like a shit gift. Like, here, you have a chance to buy this thing. Thank you. And so this thing was created by this a group called Nomineeth, and they reached out to a bunch of artists and ultimately chose five, one of which was Andre O'Shea, who is the one who created the Chadwick Boseman NFT.
A choice.
Perhaps not the right one. And so Nomineeth was working with Distinctive Assets, which is this PR group who I think most people are probably familiar with in terms of the kind of Oscar swag bags that go viral every single year. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, so like I knew about the swag bags, right? It's like you get a new car and a villa in the south of France and 12 bottles of Brad Pitt's rosé. I didn't know that those bags were not given out by the Academy. Like, I thought these were sponsored by the Oscars, capital O.
No. Mm-mm. They are, in fact, not affiliated to the point that the Academy has sued Distinctive Assets for trademark infringement with these swag bags because they often tend to go viral for the worst reasons. The Academy also actively encourages nominees not to accept these swag bags, and nominees have to pay taxes if they accept them on whatever they accept. Okay. So you might think you're getting a French villa, but really all you're getting is property taxes.
Move that bus.
So in cases like this, it demonstrates why the Academy does not want to be associated with Distinctive Assets. This NFT went absolutely viral on Saturday night because it's in such poor taste. People were assuming that the Academy was honoring Chadwick with this NFT, and by honoring Chadwick meant that he was going to win Best Actor for his role in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And so when he didn't win, combined with this really kind of gross imagery that was set to be auctioned off for $1.2 million, it was, in internet parlance, not a good look.
Has the artist said anything since the backlash?
Yes. On Tuesday, he released this apology on Instagram that was also kind of trying to correct the misinformation because a lot of people assumed that nominees were getting the NFT in their swag bag. Like, they were also owning it, which didn't make sense if it was also being auctioned off. So he clarified that, and he also kind of clarified how he came to create this thing. And he apologized and says that he now recognizes that Chadwick's face is a triggering reminder of his death rather than his life. And he will be redesigning the artwork to be auctioned off later this week.
So you keep saying it was going to be auctioned off for $1.2 million. Who stood to make all that money?
So theoretically, 50% of it was supposed to go towards charity. And the charity was to help Black men get colon cancer screenings, which, important cause. And then 10% was supposed to go towards the artist. 40%, I'm assuming, is going to Nomineeth, who was the group that reached out to these artists.
The commissioner of the art, yeah.
Yes.
Shady.
Extremely shady. And also, the commissioner of the art reached out to multiple artists and had originally said that 100% of the proceeds were going to charity. But by the time the NFT actually debuted, it had gone down to half the proceeds.
This is just shady from start to finish. Chadwick Boseman, we're sorry. And hopefully your gold head will not appear on an NFT auction site.
Ever?
In perpetuity. Ever. I think we can say ever.
In perpetuity, forever and ever. Please, no Oscar statue versions of Chadwick Boseman's head.
On that really like upper of a note, I think we have to go stretch and warm up to prepare for high-speed downloads. We'll be back with all that good speedy goodness. That good speedy goodness. We'll be back with all that good speedy stuff after the break.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy as is genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
Okay, and we are back. Today on ICYMI, we are going to play a game we like to call High Speed Download. If you're new, it's very simple. Rachel and I each get 60 seconds to explain something from the internet to each other. If you don't like listening to people talk really, really quickly, I recommend that you change your podcast playback setting to, you know, 0.5x because we're about to talk really, really fast. Rachel, are you ready to do some high-speed downloads?
Yeah.
Tentative.
The first one I've chosen is just like a bit. I think it's gonna be a mess, but we're ready.
Okay, what is your first topic?
I'm going to be explaining to you why Ryan Gosling was trending over the weekend. And spoiler alert, it has literally nothing to do with Ryan Gosling and everything to do with, like, the fact that men suck on the internet.
Okay. You're ready. I'm ready. You've got 1 minute on the clock. On your mark, get set, go.
Okay. There was this tweet thread that went really viral. It was just 25 quote tweets just, like, over and over again. It had, like, and it ended with this guy who was like, "This is my girlfriend." And everybody was like, "She looks like Ryan Gosling." And they were all dragging her. To find out why they were dragging her, he had to go all the way down to this first tweet, which began with this woman who was just like, "Why do broke men always say they don't want gold diggers when all the assets they have are, like, a pair of gym shoes?" And then this guy was like, "Oh, no, the assets are, like, the children that you force on men, and, like, you can garnish people's wages for it," which got into a conversation about child support, at which point, like, the woman was like, "You're literally forcing your child to, like, sell shoes on the side of the road." And the guy was like, "He's being an entrepreneur." And the woman was like, "Baby, I'm an architect. Like, we are built different." At which point, she was somehow getting dragged for the fact that she had a job. Like, men were like, "Your degree is not going to keep you warm at night." And it was like, this started with gold diggers, and now she's too accomplished.
10 seconds.
What the fuck? And so then this woman was like, "Why is it always the most undesirable men making this point?" At which point, a man was like, "Oh, you would die if you saw my bitch." And his bitch was this woman bore more than a passing resemblance to Ryan Gosling.
That was a choice, Rachel. There were so many characters in that.
I don't even think I distinguished the fact that there were at least, like, four different people replying within this, like, nested quote tweet situation. Like, the original guy who was, like, making his child sell t-shirts on the side of the road is not the guy whose girlfriend is Ryan Gosling. Like, there's a lot happening in this. It was, I did bite off more than I can chew with that one.
So you do get one more sentence to add any final details. What do we need to know?
I mean, what you need to know is that if you clicked on, like, why Ryan Gosling was trending, you got nothing related to Ryan Gosling. You got this nested 25 tweets within each other, having to click each one all the way down. And in every single, like, the replies to every single tweet, you would see someone saying, "You're almost there. Four more tweets and you've got to the original one."
She does kind of look like Ryan Gosling. I mean, that is
she
a compliment.
Does. She
nice
responded.
Face.
She responded. She was like, "This is a compliment. Ryan Gosling's a pretty man." And I'm like,
yeah,
you're not
this,
wrong.
This lady's hot. This is...
Yeah. She's living her best life.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Rachel.
Whew. All right. Madison, are you warmed up?
I am ready. I mean, I'm like the math lady meme face right now, trying to understand what was just explained to me. But yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to talk about Mark Zuckerberg wearing a lot of sunscreen.
Oh, yeah. When he looks like a ghost. I remember
yes.
this photo. There's
yes,
more to
does.
The story?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it. All right. 3, 2, 1. Go.
Okay, Mark Zuckerberg is the CEO of Facebook. He's the guy who invented Facebook in a college dorm room after building a website to rank women by hotness. Real great guy. Maybe he's the ruiner of our democracy or, like, the savior of the modern era, depending on who you ask. He owns a house in Hawaii. Okay, it's not really a house. It's like a $100 million estate on Kauai. The thing is fucking huge and fancy because, again, the man founded Facebook. He made his neighbors really mad when he and his wife put up a big-ass wall blocking everybody's views. Anyway, in Hawaii, last summer, he was photographed surfing on some kind of, like, fancy electric surfboard where you don't actually have to know how to surf. I don't know. My only surfing references come from, like, Nickelodeon, a.k.a. Rocket Power. Hello, Reggie Rocket. The thing about the photo is Mark is wearing like a full face of insane sunscreen, super white, heavy coverage. He looks like he's playing like a corpse extra on like The Walking Dead. We stan SBF, but this seems like overkill. A year later, he revealed why in an Instagram Live with Adam Mosseri, who runs Instagram, which Mark, remember, owns. And Mark said that he thought the sunscreen would help mask him from the paparazzi. Which is insane. It's clearly Mark Zuckerberg. And also, this is a man who invented a platform that can identify faces, and he thinks a little sunscreen is going to throw off the paps? Like, come on, my guy.
That was really good.
Thank you.
You really got in on a lot of little clips there. Like, Reggie Rocket, you unlocked the memory there.
Ugh, she was so hot.
You get one more sentence. It's not about Reggie Rocket. Is there anything else you need to say?
He gave this quote during the live that was, the delta between how cool you think you look and the worst photo a paparazzi can take is pretty funny. So Mark has a pretty good attitude about the sunscreen photo, which we'll put in the show notes, because if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. Rachel, are you ready to give us your second high-speed download of the day?
I don't know if I've quite recovered from how bad my first one was, but...
All right, take a second and tell us what you're going to be talking about.
Okay, I'm going to be talking about the drama that unfolded after this specific TikTok. Daniel, cue it up.
Hey, yo, the person that sent you this wants you to know.
We need to get the gang together for a little road trip. You heard me.
No cap. Facts. No pencil. Copy. No translate.
In a word, what?
Oh, I will tell you in more than a word.
All right, 60 seconds. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Okay, the girl in this video is named Bria. She posted this TikTok where she's in a bathroom. You can't see this because you're listening to a podcast, but she's in a bathroom and she's like, says this, and then this guy is behind her and he looks like, did you ever watch a Proud Family movie? He looks like the Tina in the Proud Family movie. And he says, the way they talk is just so deeply funny. And so all these people just come out into the bathroom and just start like saying, you heard? And I'm just like, what? This is a pandemic. But so anyway, this girl's talking like the girlfriend voice, but worse. And so this another dude, Samuel Adrian, does what you do on TikTok and makes fun of it. And he's like, car, no wheels, mom, no dad, tree, no branch, booty, no hole. And it gets really, really funny. And his video goes entirely viral. However, OG Bria did not like that and got Samuel's account suspended, which I didn't even know you could do, I think, for like bullying. And so he made a backup account called Pimpin' Soup 69, which also got banned from
10
posting.
Seconds.
And so they had a whole feud, ended up doing a TikTok live together where she yelled at him and called him a child, which only added fuel to the fire, to the point where Doja Cat mocked the original video. People were making whole ass videos in their bathroom saying facts.
No,
no printer.
I was really doing fine until you said booty, no hole. Okay, you get one more thing. Doja Cat?
Doja Cat. And so, so here's the guy that got suspended. This is the video that got him kicked off TikTok, apparently.
The person I sent you this wants you to know.
We need to get the gang together.
And then here are some more iterations, including one from none other than Doja Cat.
Hey, yo. Whoever sent you this wants you to know. Hey, yo. It's a brother. Not me. This is it. This is it.
I bet she does a really good Daffy Duck.
Oh, I can only imagine. What's funny about this trend is that this was the first video I saw of this trend. So I was just like fucking Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbing my way back to what exactly set this off.
That's so dark.
It's also really hard to find because there's no reference to it in the video. You just see people in the comments like, she's going to get your account suspended, Doja. Like, don't do it. And so then there's this other video from Christian Dennis, which is, I think, probably more indicative of what exactly the first video was.
Hey, yo, the person saying this wants you to know.
We need to get a gang, but to get blah, 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 her.
No cap, fax, no printer, rain, no water, sky, no clouds, door, no handle, TV, no remote, top, no bottom, fridge, no food. Yeah.
All I want now is a cheeseburger with no pickles.
Burger, no bun.
No, I want the bun. That was incredible, Rachel, and I feel you really redeemed yourself.
Thank you. Madison, are you ready? Are you ready for the last high-speed download of the day?
I am. I've been training my whole life for this.
What do you got for us?
Okay, so you may or may not have seen a trending topic on Twitter earlier this week, Ed Balls Day.
I did. I didn't investigate, so I don't quite know what was going on.
It is an annual internet holiday of sorts with a comical backstory involving a British man named Ed Balls, whom we are going to honor today in the next 60 seconds.
All right, Madison, I have one last question for you before you get started. Are you going to do this in a British accent?
Oh, Rachel, no.
Please.
But I feel like I should mention, like, on the record, a disclaimer that, like, my conception of a British accent was heavily influenced by Lindsay Lohan in The Parent Trap.
Honestly, same.
You want to know the real difference between us? Let me see. I know how to fence and you don't. Or I have class and you don't. Take your pick.
All right, British listeners, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. We're so sorry in advance. No. Madison, are you ready?
Oh, God. We're going to get fine.
3, 2, 1, go.
There's a man named Ed Balls. Pause for laughter here, because if you, like me, are 10 years old and find that name absolutely hilarious, it's funny. The man's name is Ed Balls. He's a British politician. His wife is also a British politician. Her name is Yvette Cooper. You will note she did not elect to go by Mrs. Balls, which, like, points to Yvette. 10 years ago, Ed Balls was a member of Parliament and a leader in the opposition Labour Party. He had just begun working as the Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer. I have no idea what that title means. I think Exchequer is, like, British Treasury. And I'm sorry, but this is not the podcast for you if you need that information to enjoy a story about a man named Ed fucking Balls. 10 years ago, in 2011, on April 28th, Ed Balls tweets a simple tweet. His own name. That was it. Just Ed Balls. No subtext, no punctuation. Ed comma Balls might have made more sense, but nothing. Just Ed Balls. Who here among us has not done an aberrant tweet? He was trying to search his own name while standing in a supermarket. It has become something of an annual British Twitter holiday. One Ed Balls is totally in on and using to his advantage. He's a bit of a good sport about it. Daniel Victor wrote a piece about Ed Balls Day this year in the New York Times in which he said that Mr. Balls was Mr. Balls was seen as a political heavyweight bruiser, and the tweet did not square with his public image, which is why it was so funny that this guy, like, totally goofed in a supermarket just tweeting his name, Ed Balls. Ed Balls was voted out of Parliament in... Oh, no.
Good job.
I'm so sorry. Ed Balls was voted out of Parliament in 2015, but has continued to celebrate Ed Balls Day in perpetuity. Happy Ed Balls Day, everyone.
Does Ed Balls himself celebrate it, or is he kind of just, like, an unwitting participant?
He, like, tweets about it. I think Ed Balls is doing fine. I mean, he was voted out in 2015, but, like, since then has been on, like, British reality television. Like, he was on, like, a cooking show and a dancing show, which, honestly, Britain, it's just like America.
I don't know, man. I feel like it's a downgrade from Shadow Chancellor of the...
Exchequer. They definitely say the word exchequer in Love Actually, which is where I picked it up.
Oh, I mean, I have read it in The Other Boleyn Girl, but, like, I didn't...
See?
I don't know what it means. Just know Cromwell was probably involved in it.
Well, that is our very speedy show. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your first time, thank you for giving us a try, and be sure to hit that subscribe button so that every episode lands in your feed. We'll be back with a new episode on Wednesday, where we'll probably talk a little slower, but no promises.
We'll probably also have a little bit better lung capacity. But please leave a rating or review in Apple Podcasts and tell your friends on social media. It really helps us find new listeners, and we love seeing what you say. Thank you so much to Sarah Stark, Sammy Liebman, and Anne-Marie Conlin for the shout-outs on Twitter.
Also, thank you to everyone who has emailed us. Special shout-out to listener David, who has offered to make shelves to fit in my crappy IKEA Besta. David, I'll be in touch. All this is to say, please keep spreading the gospel of ICYMI with the hashtag ICYMIPod, and truly feel free to drop us a line anytime at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman is Slate's culture editor, and Gabe Roth is editorial director of audio. See you online.
Or not.
ICYMI, no wheezing.
Okay. Whew.
On Death, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things.
I developed an illness where it isn't safe for me to drive. A friend once said to me, sex is like air. You don't think about it until you're not getting enough. This is a similar sort of thing if you just replace sex with driving.
Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.